When the housing bubble burst in 2007 and 2008, it affected everyone, even the richest 1%. In her latest documentary, The Queen of Versailles, Lauren Greenfield follows David Siegel, the billionaire founder of Westgate Resorts, and his wife Jackie Siegel, a former model and beauty contest contender, as they attempt to build the largest house in America, and what happens after the financial crisis hit. It opens this Friday at the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center and the Angelica Film Center. And I'm very pleased it has brought Lauren Greenfield to our show today. Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Why did David and Jackie Siegel want to build the largest house in America?
Well, they explained it that they actually didn't start out with the intention of building the biggest house in America, but they just started adding everything that they wanted. The bowling alley, the ice skating rink, the football field, 10 kitchens. And as they added everything, it became the biggest house in America.
Well, some people would not say, I need 10 kitchens.
I think the thing about David and Jackie is they represent a kind
forgetting
of,
about the football field.
They represent a kind of fantasy life. In a way, it was the ultimate extension of the American dream. I've been photographing this subject for many years and was very interested in this connection between home ownership and the American dream and the fact that the house had become our ultimate expression of self.
As a still photographer. But then you met these people. How did you come in contact with the Siegels?
I met Jackie along the journey of photographing wealth, actually. I was photographing Donatella Versace, and Jackie was at a Versace party in Beverly Hills. She was one of Donatella's best customers at the time. And I made a photograph of her purse and two other purses that Time magazine ran in their pictures of the year, representing the Gilded Age, the high life at the end of 2007.
Well, what kind of documentary were you planning when you started filming? Something about conspicuous consumption?
Well, I had been looking at wealth and consumerism for a long time, and actually after the crash continued that journey by photographing foreclosure cities in California, the crash in Dubai, the ghost estates in Ireland. So I'd kind of looked at the whole cycle of boom and bust.
Well, when you started, were there already signs that the housing market was in trouble?
Because you
couldn't have known that this film was going to take on the narrative arc it's taken on.
I did not know what was going to happen. I met Jackie in 2007. They started building the house. And at the same time, David started building the tallest timeshare ever built, a 52-story tower in Las Vegas that cost over $600 million. By the time I started filming them, it was actually after the crash. It was early 2009. But at the time, I thought they were the people who would never be affected. Billionaires put money aside. They're protected compared to most of the other people. In 2010, when they had to put Versailles up on the market because the bankers forced them to, David revealed to me that he had put everything they had into this Vegas building, that he had never taken anything off the table and personally signed for everything to the point of not even putting aside money for the kids' college education.
Were they living in a fairy tale world, do you think?
Well, they were building a castle. She's a beauty queen. He's a timeshare king. It is a fairy tale in sorts, and they like that reference. Their portraits in their home modeled after kings and queens.
And what do you think they felt the movie would be about when they agreed to become your subject?
Well, when we started it, it was about them building the biggest house in America. And they liked that idea. I was going to follow them building this house. And also Jackie is a very, they're both very interesting, charismatic, complex characters. And I think they knew they were worthy of a film. They had been approached for reality before. They had turned it down. Jackie felt this was something more serious, more interesting. And we started.
And they gave you total access. And they seem to be totally unaware of some of the things that they're doing that other people might judge rather harshly.
I was very privileged to get to really follow their lives with incredible access. I filmed over a nearly three-year period and was privy to very personal moments at home and eventually after the crisis, his role became clear also at the Westgate Resorts. And so they were incredible in that not only did they let me film in the beginning, but that they stayed with it when things got hard. And you're right, they are completely themselves in front of the camera.
You filmed Jackie's compulsive spending habits. Did she seem to grasp the reality of the financial situation, or was David hiding some of the problems from her?
think a little bit of both. He didn't share the full extent of how bad things were, but she definitely knew they were bad, but didn't know the details. I think the thing you see in her shopping is she makes an effort. She tries to downsize. There's a scene where she does Christmas shopping at Walmart instead of designer, but in that scene, she ends up coming out with carts and carts of toys.
It looks like she's buying half of the Walmart store.
To me, it really speaks about the addiction of consumerism.
Well, she accumulates not just clothing and pets, lots of pets, pieces of artwork, but also children. Does she collect kids in the same way that she collects material possessions?
Everything is voluminous at the Siegel household.
She had, some were theirs, and then they even brought in children from the outside.
Yeah, there's an amazing story. Jackie had seven kids of her own, and she adopted a niece who came from poverty. And that really shows both Jackie's generosity and also the effect of wealth, because Jonquil we meet in the mansion. She came from a background that was very different. And at the end of the film, she speaks to how money affected her. She says, in the beginning, she thought she would wake up with a smile on her face every day. But now that she has it, she realizes you just want more and more.
Well, they both grew up fairly poor. She grew up poorer than he did. But there's a big gap in their ages. He's about 30 years older than she is. And he doesn't seem very attached to the rest of his family. Besides his job, what does he seem to want from his life?
Well, he's a complete workaholic, and by his own admission, he doesn't have any hobbies. Ironically, he never takes a vacation because he's in the vacation business, and there's a wonderful scene where his son Richard tells his sales staff that they're saving lives by selling vacations to people. I think that he does love his family, but he has a more traditional kind of maybe generational relationship with his kids. And definitely work is the most important thing to him.
Lauren Greenfield is well known for her collections of photography, including bodies of work like Fast Forward, Girl Culture, and Thin. Her latest documentary, The Queen of Versailles, will be screened this coming Friday at the Eleanor Monroe Film Center and the Angelica Film Center. He says, David, at one point that he played a role in having George W. Bush elected, and when you ask him how, he coyly answers that he'd better not say because it might have been illegal. And then he jokes that we might not have gone to war in Iraq if he hadn't done it. Now, he must have been aware the camera was running when he said that.
Of course he was. We were shooting.
Is he bragging?
I think he is. He was very proud of his role in that election, and he was proud of the contributions that he's made to many political campaigns. I think the interesting thing for me is by the time he was not in a position to contribute, his attitude was more like throw the bums out. He wasn't involved in politics and also said if you don't have money, you don't have a role.
There are moments in the film when other members of the family confide in you. Were they telling you things that they weren't telling each other?
Well, I think for the most part, it's a pretty open family. I think for the most part, people knew each other's stories, but it's also a place where people live in their own worlds. And I think the big reveal at the end is how little David and Jackie are telling each other. And Jackie actually learns that the Versailles house is in default by overhearing it in an interview that I have with David.
Well, they seem to become more and more estranged as the money problems become larger and larger. And to some degree, David seems to be blaming Jackie for some of his problems.
I don't think he blames Jackie, but I think there's definitely strain in the household.
Well, he doesn't want to kiss her.
Well, I think what you see in the film is it starts out as a film about the 1%, and it almost becomes a film about every man, where we can relate to how they're affected. You see the strain that financial problems create in a household in a way that is familiar to many of us who've seen people go through that in the crash.
Well, it wasn't until money became a concern that Jackie told the kids that they might not need to go to college or start considering what they'd want to do in life. These are kids who grew up very privileged with lots of nannies.
They did. They grew up privileged. And I think Jonquil speaks to the effects of that very articulately when she says, you know, once you have money, it just makes you want more and more. And she acknowledges that there's no satisfaction there.
Well, what did this army of nannies teach the kids? Did they teach them to take care of themselves?
Well, the nannies are incredibly loving, caring people. And the children have really wonderful relationships with them. I think they taught them, they kind of ran the household in terms of the logistics, getting people to baseball practice, getting them to school on time. But I think it was hard for them to help in the educational realm.
And did the parents play any role in raising their kids?
I mean, Jackie and David are both very loving with their kids. I think Jackie, at one point, David says Jackie's kind of like a child. And in a way, she has that childlike fun relationship with her kids. She's an incredibly fun, loving mom. Structure is not the strong suit.
He describes her as being almost like his child. Well, he's over 30 years older than she is. And he seems to have wanted to marry her at first in the same way that people go into a store and they see something really pretty and decide they want to have it for themselves.
He does talk about being enamored by her beauty and his long interest in beauty pageants, and she was a beauty queen, and we see that he's interested in beauty. I think the thing that Jackie has to grapple with towards the end, and we see her getting a dermatological treatment at the end, is...
Well, she's had a lot of plastic surgery, I guess, to keep him interested, or just simply because it's always important for her to be beautiful?
I think both. I think for women whose value has come from their beauty, it's hard to confront the aging process, and especially in that relationship, beauty definitely played a role in the attraction.
Now, how many servants did they have before they had to start cutting down?
They originally had 15 housekeepers and went down to one, and they had 5 nannies and went down to 3. And then they also had a driver they let go of and more carpet cleaners.
Did you speak to any of them? How did they take the Siegels?
Well, the ones that I really had a relationship with were the ones that stayed on. And the thing that's interesting about their relationship with their employees is they really love them. I mean, Jackie has a really big heart. I think they're full of contradictions, but one thing about Jackie is she has a kind of generosity of spirit. And there's a strangely non-hierarchical relationship in the family where it's almost like the help is almost like part of the familial entourage.
But at one point, Jackie says she can't afford a watch, and her son points out that she's wearing a fur coat. Were the kids in better touch with reality than their parents?
Well, I think Jackie, by her own admission, says she lives in a fantasy world. And I think there were often these contradictions. A couple weeks ago, she was at a film festival with me in Washington, and she was on a driving vacation trip with her kids. And I said, oh, are you taking an economy vacation? And she said, yes and no. I stopped at Saks Fifth Avenue and went into the Chanel boutique.
The marble that they'd purchased for their house had to cost many millions of dollars.
The marble cost $5 million.
So couldn't they just sell that?
Well, I think, they put the house on the market for sale for $75 million in the middle of 2010. It's been languishing on the market since then. It's now come down to $65 million. So there's a real limited interest in buyers.
At one point, Jackie takes a friend into her closet, which is larger than most people's homes. And the friend says, is this your room? This is the master bedroom? She said, no, this is the closet. And the friend laughs. It is really ostentatious. But I understand that David Siegel has filed a lawsuit against you for depicting Westgate Resorts in a negative light. Is that true?
Yes, he's filed a defamation lawsuit.
What is he objecting to? It seems to me you didn't go after him.
You know, it's kind of hard to understand because I've made the film over 3 years with full cooperation, and the whole film is told in his own words. But I think basically he doesn't like where the film ends. He would have liked to – I think he really wanted to save the Las Vegas building. I know he wanted to save it. At one point he said, if I save it, it will be the best thing I ever did, and I'll fly to L.A. to save you a trip so you can interview me. And he also said, and if I lose it, you can be there. And if it blows up, you can be there. So he said all those things. But in reality, I think it was extremely painful to lose that building. And he would have liked to have emerged triumphant at the end.
But you still maintain a relationship with Jackie Siegel. Are they estranged?
And Jackie's coming. She's in town now, coming for the premiere tomorrow night at the MoMA. They're not estranged.
So they just disagree as to what the film says about them.
Yes.
You could tell different kinds of stories when you're making a film than when you're doing photography. But in the end, do you think that you're pretty much talking about the same thing? When you're doing still photography and when you're making films?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I've explored very similar films in all of this work. And this film came out of my long-term work on wealth and consumerism and the American dream. And in a way, Jackie and David's story turned into an incredible morality tale, really about the over-the-top consumerism that I'd been documenting for so many years.
Well, to some degree, it's not all that different from what we see on a much smaller scale with a lot of people in America.
Well, that was what was so powerful to me about their story. I had photographed foreclosure cities in California. I photographed the crash in Dubai. I photographed people losing their homes in Ireland. And then to see this rich family that seemed untouchable go through the same process of looking at losing their home, losing the building that was the legacy of the business, having to let go of dreams turning into nightmares. It was strangely familiar in a very powerful way that also made me very compassionate to their situation.
Although I think a lot of viewers will be a little less compassionate just because there is a certain vulgarity to this whole thing. The having themselves painted in the way that they did, kind of shocking.
I think people will be surprised when they see the movie, though. What a lot of people have reported to me is they start out thinking they'll never identify with these people, and they end up feeling differently.
Lauren Greenfield's film, The Queen of Versailles, opens this Friday at the Eleanor Buna Monroe Film Center and the Angelica Film Center. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.